Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Now, Matt, I need your help. Now, it's all good. I'm not going to muck around with you like you guys muck around, but come up here. And I need someone else. Josh, you'll coo. And one more. Travis, you'll do. No, I don't want to warn you, because then you will know what I'm going to do, and then you wouldn't do it like I'd do. Okay, I want you guys to take your shoes off, please.
I know where my socks have been.
Boy, you got holes in your socks. Tell your wife.
Mine are matching.
Right, now, before you put your shoes back on, everybody, just have a think about this for a minute. Just in your mind's eye, you've had a shower, you've dried yourself. We'll go as fast as we can and we'll put our shoes on. Okay, which shoe do you put on first? No, think about it. Which shoe do you put on first? All right, guys, put your shoes on. Right, Josh is Rosh, right. Good man for undoing your shoelaces. That's fine. You're right. Right, right, left. Don't do them up. Don't do them up. I'm going to get to undo them in a minute. No. Put them on. This is what he'd do to me. Then now put them on again.
I respect you far too much for that, Graham.
Righto, now you put it right, right, left. Okay? Right, take your shoes off again. Now I want you to put your left one on first. Does that feel uncomfortable?
It's weird.
Weird, yeah. Left. Uncomfortable? Doesn't feel right, does it? You should do it. Take your pants off. No. You can go down there. In the morning, when you're getting up and when you're getting dressed, I want you to think about just what we did. And I'm serious, your undies are even harder. When you're putting your undies on, just try and put it on the other foot first. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen. We all have habits, don't we? Sometimes we don't even know. Tell me, Nadal, the tennis player. What's his habit? Huh? Hey, is that true? How many times does he bounce the ball before he serves? Who said eight? Yeah, I think it's eight. Okay. He has this incredible routine every time. Is that true? What about Lloydie? Remember Lloydie, Essendon football player? Cooking the goals, what did he do? Picked up a piece of grass and dropped it. Okay.
Even indoors,
there you go. What habits do you have? In fact, this will be interesting. What habit do I have up on the platform? Hey? Got the pulpit in the center? Okay, good. What else? Or straight my paper, yeah. Good. Another one? Or down there? Down there? There? Yeah, go. Good. This is great. That? Do that? Right. Thanks, Andy. Do I? No, I don't. What else? Anything else? Chris, what habits do I have at home? Yeah, that's another one. Seriously, sitting at lunch, I'll lay out my knife and fork and I'll get everything straight and the kids will move it all for me. What habits do you have? What things do you do that you don't even know about? You know, a habit is something we have learned to do unconsciously and sometimes compulsively, even without knowing it. They are a life pattern which has been... I'm not going to do that. They're a life pattern which has been reinforced through repeated use. You know, it can be a facial mannerism. It can be something as ingrained as a character weakness. As we've seen from just putting on a shoe or getting dressed, putting on our undies, whatever the case may be. It can be something really simple, something that has no consequence. Or it could be as serious as drug addiction, alcohol, whatever the case may be. Habits, both good and bad, have an impact on our life. And realistically, a habit, depending on what it is, can affect our eternal destiny. You've heard me with this little saying. It says, sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a personality. And sow a personality and you reap a destiny. Now, it always starts with a thought, but then the thought becomes a deed and the deed becomes a habit. You right there, Ross? Okay. Somebody get Ross one of those aluminium ones, will you? Obviously, good habits need to be appreciated and reinforced, but bad habits need to be carefully examined and eliminated. You know, when we've got a thought, and a good thought, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So a good thought is to be reinforced and to be thought on. But then a bad thought, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, cast down imaginations and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. So right throughout the Bible, believe it or not, you'll find things about that are good and what we're supposed to do with them, things that are bad and what we're supposed to do with them. We'll speak to some of those in a minute. Most of us are aware of the habits which are pulling us down. Let me just stop there. Not looking around. How many of you have got habits that you know you shouldn't have? Man, this is going to be a good altar call tonight. Okay, we know them. We don't have to be told them. We actually know them. We know them without others telling us. Unfortunately, the challenge of those habits is sometimes an intimidating obstacle that weighs us down. Jeremiah asked a question which sums up the dilemma we sometimes encounter when we face the challenge of breaking a bad habit. In Jeremiah 13, it says, can an Ethiopian change the colour of his skin? Now, if we were in a PC church, we wouldn't be able to say that anymore, but we can, because it's in the Bible. Can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for all you have ever done is evil. See, we get into these ruts of our lives and we think we can't get out of them. And unfortunately, the continual wrestling with habits often brings about frustration, often brings about hopelessness and despair. And I've seen people leave church. I've seen people walk away from their spiritual directions because they just can't overcome. And finally, their despair and their hopelessness pulls them down to the point that they just chuck it all in. The pressure of it, the feelings that come from it are so great that they just feel like a failure. Thank goodness as Christians, the good news is there's no hopeless situations. Who told me that I did that with my thing? I'm just conscious of it all the time tonight. There's no hopeless situations in God. And I know, because God has helped me. Breaking bad habits is no exception. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, Paul goes through a whole list of sinful practices which the Corinthians had been habitually doing. He said things like sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, thieving, greed, drunkenness, slander, cheating. We could add to that gambling and lots of other things. But what Paul is saying is, hey, Corinthians, you were doing these things. Thank goodness Paul didn't stop there. And then in verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. And such were, not still being, not continually, but were you. Past tense. You know, God doesn't just provide a temporary halfway solution. God is such an incredible God. He's such a loving Father. I love that song. He gives us the ability to have a permanent victory over anything that we want to deal with, including our habits. If God could do it for the Corinthians, God can do it for us. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One of my most favorite scriptures, and again, you've heard me talk about it before. I have this list of scriptures that I used in Bible college. I had incredible things that I was overcoming in Bible college, and I mean it, incredible things. All year, I can't remember anything I was taught because all I was doing was overcoming bondages. And I think there must be over 100 scriptures on my victory sheet. As I learnt and as I put the word into practice in my life, as I endeavoured, as I determined myself to become an overcomer, and this scripture is one of them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another one is being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God wants us to be a winner. Pastor Oxley this morning spoke on that. God didn't create us to be losers. He created us to be winners. And that's where our mindset has to be. It's unfortunate that some of us convinced ourselves that we can't break free from those bad habits. We've just let those things that are destroying us get a hold on us, and we've now put ourselves into that position that we can't think or don't think that we're going to win. In fact, as Hal said this morning, we resign ourselves to failure and then we're not disappointed. In short, by having a thought pattern like that, we've already allowed ourselves to be defeated before we even begin. We might lose a battle or two, but we've never lost the war. And if you don't believe me, read the back of the book. It tells us that. And so, if you've got some habits tonight that have been weighing heavily on you, it's time to reapply ourselves to God's instructions. And this fits with all the other messages I've been doing on a Sunday night. Let me give you some practical, simple, biblical steps for breaking bad habits. The notes will be on the website tomorrow. First thing that we have to do is to repent. Now, it sounds simple, and we know it in our head, but how often we forget the first step, repentance. 1 John 1:9. I love this scripture. I love this scripture because God here is talking to Christians. And if God is talking to Christians, then even though power of sin has been broken, even though sin has no more dominion over us, God still knows that our frame is dust. It says so in Psalms. And he knows that we're going to fall short of his glory. And so he's given us what I call the escape clause, the way out. So even though you're not supposed to sin, and even though, you know, I don't want you to, I know that you are, or could, or maybe will. And so for when you do, this is what you do. You confess your sins, and I am, that's God is, faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to wipe the slate clean so that you can start again. Before any of us are going to be able to overcome sinful habits, we must recognize, first of all, that they are a sinful practice. Now, those of you who put up your hand, and those of you who didn't put up your hand, just think about the habits that you have right now. Now, whether you put your shoe on the left foot or the right foot, I wouldn't call that a sinful practice. All those in favor say aye? Okay, not counted. Okay, if you get a wedgie and you pull it out before you play tennis, not sinful? Okay. What about sucking on a cigarette? Or looking at something on the computer that you shouldn't look on? Okay, I'll let you look after your own sinful habits. But have an audit check right now on those practices. You have to recognize that they are first a sinful practice. If you can't see them as sin, and believe it or not, God will convict you if your heart's towards him. if he wants you to deal with them. But if you can't see them as such, if you've justified them to being there and being okay, then you've lost out on the first base, because you're never, ever, ever going to succeed in overcoming them. You need to see them as God sees them. And you need to recognize that God wants you to repent of them. Repenting is turning away and going in the opposite direction. Don't act on guilt. Act on conviction. Don't act on condemnation. Remember, condemnation comes from Satan and it locks you in. It gives you no way out. Conviction comes from God. It's an internal thing. And in God, there's always a way out. And the way out is to bring it to him. Just remember that the Bible clearly says that some sins are pleasurable for a season. Well, it doesn't even say some. It just says sins are pleasurable for a season. So even though you might enjoy what you're doing, even though you might be able to think about it in a way that it's enjoyable, it's not hurting anybody, I'm not hurting anybody else, it's only pleasurable for a season. And then finally it starts to bring forth death. And so the first thing we must do is hate the sin and repent and ask God to forgive us. The second thing we need to do is appropriate God's power. But before you can appropriate God's power, you've got to recognize that you have a problem. If you don't recognize that you have a problem, then you can't appropriate God's power to that problem. If you ignore it, if you minimize it, if you overlook it, if you excuse it, then ultimately those sinful bad habits that we have will reinforce themselves and become deeper and deeper and deeper until they become the norm in your mind. As I said a minute ago, it's time to do a stock take. It's time to start identifying what habits you have and whether they're right or whether they're wrong. And, you know, I often see God in this light. I look at a cone and, you know, we start off down the bottom and the cone is very wide at the bottom. And I think that's God's grace. But as we go in God and as we get stronger in God and as we learn more about God, the leeway that God gives us is less and less. So don't look at somebody else and say they're doing it and pastor hasn't got stuck into them. So if he's not getting stuck into them, it must be okay for me to do it. Believe it or not, it's not up to me. It's up to what God is saying to you about your habits and about the things. And sometimes it's our habits that are causing others to be offended. It might not even be such a bad thing. But if it causes somebody else to be offended or stumble, then we need to be very, very careful. So do a stock take. Find out when it happens. Find out where it happens. Find out what causes it. You know, sometimes people in tiredness fall into things that they wouldn't normally fall into if they're not tired. Sometimes it's the situations that we're in. I remember I used to be a heavy, heavy smoker. I used to smoke about 40, 45 cigarettes a day. And I used to smoke all the time in a certain job that I was doing. It was a job when I was in the engine works working on ship engines, and I had a long time between shifts on my machine. And I would sit there and I would have 8 hours or thereabouts whilst this machine did its thing. And I just did nothing. I just sat there and watched. I had to be there. And I would have a cigarette in my hand all the time. When Chris comes up to do prayer warfare study on a Thursday night, she always comes up with a cup of coffee. More often than not, the coffee will go cold. When we had the factory, Chris would always do the pays, and it was always late at night. She was always tired and she always had a cup of coffee. You know, we have habits that we do things in certain times, certain situations. It's important that we find out when and where and how we're doing them, because you'll see in a minute that that helps us. When we know what we're dealing with, we can then begin to attack the problem with prayer, and that is appropriating God's power. There is nothing more powerful than prayer, than bringing it before God, than praying about it. The Bible says when we wait on God, he will give us strength. Strength to overcome, strength to resist, strength to say no. We'll only overcome by relying on all the resources Jesus spoke of when he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about prayer, one of those things that the Holy Spirit gives to us is that incredible gift of speaking in tongues. Building ourselves up in the most holy faith, the Bible says, when we speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, come up straight after church. Let me pray for you. Let's unstop that little call, that you might see a release in that incredible prayer language that God has given you. The next step is to bring about change. Without change, our habits continue. And change is more than saying no. Change is not just willpower. Change is not sheer determination. Change isn't just turning over a new leaf or making some bold promise or resolution to quit. All of us who have made resolutions know that that's not change, because we normally start doing what we've had a resolution to do or not to do, come back. Real change, lasting change, takes place when we replace the old habit with a godly positive one. Paul highlights this in Colossians 3 when he says, put off the old, change your stinking thinking, and then put on the new. Putting off, putting on. I guarantee you, when you have a shower in the morning and you put off your old clothes to have the shower, you don't get out of the shower and put on the old clothes again. You put on clean clothes. Put off the old, put on the new. In fact, one Sunday I'm going to do a sermon series on putting off and putting on. There are so many passages in the Bible where God tells us to put off and to put on. Putting off is a good thing. You can throw away your packet of cigarettes. You can determine that you're not going to go gambling anymore. You can throw away all your alcohol. You can do all of that putting off. That's great. But unless you replace it with something else, it's never going to happen. When I was smoking and when I gave up, and I didn't give up because I hated it. I liked smoking. I loved the smell. When I gave up, I used to hop into the smoking carriage. We used to have non-smoking and smoking carriages. I'd hop into the smoking carriage to smell somebody else's cigarettes. But when I gave up, the only thing that I could do to help me not smoke was to suck toothpicks. I had to have something in my mouth. I had to do something that stopped me from sucking on a cigarette. I used to suck through the lollies and toothpicks. And I think when you met me, I used to buy through the lollies by the box full, just so I wasn't sucking on a cigarette. I had to have something in my mouth to stop me putting a cigarette in my mouth. This step of putting off and putting on goes hand in hand with repentance. Just as much as spiritually we turn around and go in another direction, with our habits that we're trying to break, we've got to replace it with something that's good, a physical thing that's good. Another action that we need to take is to realize the power of God's word. We need to wash ourselves, the Bible says, in his word. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Says this, by taking heed according to your word. Another one of my Bible college scriptures is Psalm 119 verse 11. Because I was dealing with so many things in my life, so many bad habits that I'd picked up in the world. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Start reading the Bible. Start feeding on God's word. Start filling yourself with God's word. It's incredibly hard to sin when you're filling yourself with God. The word of God is a cleansing agent. It's a cleansing agent for our thoughts. It's a cleansing agent for our desires. It's a cleansing agent for our feelings. If you, if me, if we all meditate on God's word and obey what God is showing us, then I guarantee you, you won't feel condemned ever again. You will feel squeaky clean. The next thing we have to do is to bring those ugly, filthy, bad habits under subjection. I love the way Paul says this. He says, "But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." There's a discipline that we bring into our bodies. Things that we have to do to bring our bodies under subjection. I like the thought of not being led by the flesh, but being led by the Spirit. If we're led by the flesh, Galatians 5 tells us what's going to happen. But if we're led by the Spirit, we're called the sons of God. Not letting the flesh dictate our lives is a powerful thing. Don't think because you see victory that your problem has gone away. I have watched people think this often. I've seen alcoholics break free from drinking and get to the point where they think they're free from their problem. And then it starts in their brain. One drink won't hurt. I might see if I can prove that I am free. I'll just have one drink. And of course, it's never one drink. It goes on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, they've fallen back and they wake up in the morning and they're so guilty, they're so condemned, they feel so miserable that they just chuck it all away. Don't start fantasizing or flirting with your old ways. Even though I like cigarette smoke, even though I love my pipe, I have never, ever, ever allowed myself again to have a cigarette or suck on a pipe, because I know that that's flirting with an old habit that God has dealt with. And I don't want to do that. I know that if I did, I would fall. Fall back into the old habits that I had. Victory depends on decisive action by bringing our thoughts into subjection to the Word. As we talked about when I talked on overcoming a couple of weeks ago, when we're tempted, we've got to challenge the desires with the Word of God. In fact, let's use temptation as a warning signal to drive us into prayer, to drive us back into the Word of God. Let's turn it around. I had an issue with pornography growing up, and it was a real battle. You know, I'd see a pretty girl, or I'd see a poster, or I'd see a magazine, and man, did I have trouble with my mind. One day I was praying about it, and God said, "Hey, when you get those imaginations, don't condemn yourself, don't make yourself feel guilty, just look at it and start praising me." And so I did. Started praising God that we were created in His image, that He created us for His good works, etc., etc. I started using those scriptures that I talked about. You know, I'll guarantee you within 2 or 3 days, never again. God used and showed me how to use the temptation to turn it around and to use it for good, to use it to put it back into the enemy's face. The enemy doesn't want us praising God. The enemy doesn't want us glorifying Him. The enemy doesn't want us praying. If he knows that every time you get tempted, you're going to start praying or reading the Bible or quoting Scripture, he'll run quickly, I guarantee you. So use the temptation. Use those things to drive you back into the Word of God. Second last one, and this is such a big one. To break bad habits, we must form right relationships. I don't know how many times I have argued this with people who think that I don't care about the lost or the ones that have gone wayward. I care about making certain that everybody wins. And yet, so often I have watched people break free and then start to associate with the wrong company again, or putting themselves back into the position that they shouldn't. I had a friend when I was working in the engine works, and you know, the engine works was a place where there was an awful lot of drinking going on. And every night before he left, or when he left work, before he got home, he would go to the pub and he would drink himself stupid and silly. And finally, to the point of nearly destroying his marriage and family, he decided he was going to give up. And he did. He broke free. But then one day, one of his so-called friends invited him to the pub on the way home just to have one drink. It started. He lost his wife. He lost his family because he fell back in. That so-called friend wasn't a friend. If your friends are friends, they love you, they care for you, they protect you, they won't let you do something that you shouldn't do. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Or Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Old friendships can be destructive influences. Our old hangouts can cause us to compromise and fall back into those sinful habits. To break free, we have to replace our old associates with new friends. People who love us, people who care for us, people who are going to encourage us. And if you feel led to try and witness or minister to those that you used to associate with, then do it with positive people around you, or do it in an environment that's positive. Don't go back to their place. Last one. Pastor Oxy spoke about it this morning. Never, never, never give up. Proverbs 24 says, "A just man falls seven times and rises up again." We are going to fall, and that's not a negative statement. Or we often fall, let's put it that way. We often slip back. We often go well and then all of a sudden break out. God knows that, as I've already said. All we have to do is get back up again and start again. Wipe the dust off your feet, the Bible says. Move on. Don't let the condemnation and guilt get you. Confess your sin. God is faithful and just to forgive you. The Bible says he remembers them no more. Gee, I learnt this one well. There's only one guy that wants to remind you of all your weaknesses and failures, and that's Satan. Don't listen to him. If old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new, they are. That's what the Bible says. That's what you've got to believe, and that's what you've got to walk on with. Pastor Oxy said it this morning, "There's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus." So don't allow failures, don't allow those things to discourage or frustrate or disillusion you. Remember, it takes time to establish godly habits. In fact, it takes time to establish habits full top, about 30 days. So if it takes 30 days to get into a bad habit, it'll take 30 days to get into a good habit. Start to learn godly habits. Start to get into godly habits. And don't set yourself a task that's too high. If you're going to start reading the Bible because you haven't been doing that, then don't set yourself, "I'm going to read 20 chapters a day." Set yourself, "I'm going to read 10 minutes a day," or 5 minutes a day would do. I guarantee you, once you get that habit established, then you'll want to do more and more and more. Same with prayer. Just write a little prayer list. Start getting into the habit. If you speak in tongues, and I hope you do, then get into the habit when you're driving your car or walking, you're speaking in tongues. Because it doesn't have to go through your head. It's not going through your intellect. It's going through your spirit. It builds you up. Remember Philippians 4, "We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." In God, I guarantee you, we have a lasting victory over our sinful habits. Change is possible if we diligently apply these steps. Sincerely repent. Appropriate God's power. Strive for change. Be filled with the Spirit. Apply the cleansing power of the Word. Bring our habits under subjection. Form right relationships. And never, never, never give up. Now tonight, I'd like to pray with anybody who feels as though they'd like to determine that they're going to go out and start to do what we've said. If you've got some habits that you've been trying to work through and you haven't seen change and you're feeling miserable about it, then let's pray with you. And then you go out and you do these steps. I always say, prayer breaks the power, but we deal with the habit patterns. You deal with the habit patterns, we'll help you with prayer tonight. Let's stand. Father, I pray that you would overshadow each person. If you want prayer tonight, just come down the front while I'm praying now. Father, I pray that you would just overshadow each person. Lord God, for those that know that they need an extra little bit of help, Lord God, I pray that you would encourage them. Father, we know what the world is like. Lord God, we know what's happening in our beings. We know what our minds and our thought patterns are like. Lord God, we know the temptations of the world. So, Father, you've given us these things to help us break free. Lord, I know that you don't look down and judge us. Lord God, you're looking down cheering us on because you want us, as Hal said this morning, to be winners. You want us to break free. You want us to live in the abundance that your word says, that your son won for us. And so, Lord, I just give you thanks and I give you praise now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.